When your health matters, when you need information you can trust, Cleaner on the Go Radio, powered by CopperTouch, is there for you. Now, here is your host, Linda Pavick.
Hey, everybody. This is Sandra Beck, and I have such an interesting show today. We're going to cover everything from copper to dealing with the FDA and the EPA. For any of you that are thinking of launching products, for those of you who are wondering how products come to market, today's show is going to be an exceptional show. And we have the CEO of CopperTouch, Linda Pavick. So if you guys are playing along at home, check on your computer at CopperTouch.com. And we also have a special guest. His name is Dr. Jonathan DeVries. Now, this guy is really cool. He has 47 years in nutrition and food safety. He has co-authored more than 80 publications. He's got his PhD in organic chemistry from University of Minnesota. And then he has his chemistry degree from Augsburg College. And Dr. John, this is so great because you were for many years part of Medallion Laboratories of General Mills. This is a really amazing career you've had.
Well, thank you. I found it extremely fulfilling, also very exciting. The opportunities that I had were highly varied, and I keep telling people that I only had two dull weeks out of 37 plus years of working there. Just because the nature of the job, I kept working on new projects and new issues.
Now, let me ask you, what led you to have a career in food science? Because that's, you know, you have a chemistry background in organic chemistry. Why food?
Well, I think the answer to that is fairly straightforward, but yet complex. And that is that NASA shut down the space program, far-fetched as that sounds. NASA shut down the space. I always wanted to be a chemist who synthesized new drugs, legitimate drugs, and, health cures or whatever they would be used for. And that was my goal during my PhD years. When it came time to look for a job, NASA had shut down the space program and had dumped an unbelievable number of chemists on the market. So all those jobs were basically not available. I took a job with a sanitation company for a couple of years, and then an opening came at General Mills. And I thought, well, what a great way to apply organic chemistry to help people through working on food safety and nutrition. Thought I'd go over there and work for about 5 years and set to finish up the things they had talked to me about. The job kept changing, and 37 years later, I retired.
That is terrific. What an amazing career, and we're so honored to have you with us today. Linda, let's go over to you for a moment. And, you know, you are the CEO of CopperTouch. And let's talk a little bit about CopperTouch and what that is before we talk about how we got Dr. John involved with your company.
Okay. Well, CopperTouch is a product that the idea was brought to me by two people. That came up with this theory because copper is naturally antimicrobial and a germ-killing metal, shall we say. Dr. Jonathan will say it in much more scientific terms, but coming from me, I'll do it in day-to-day layman's terms. So their idea was, why couldn't we have something that you could rub on your hands, and what would happen with the friction? Because we know that heat speeds up the process of the copper killing those germs. And like I said, Dr. Jonathan will even explain that further. So we did lab testing. We found out that our theories were accurate. So I developed two products. One looks like a big silver dollar, and the other one looks like a bar of soap. They're made out of 99.9% pure copper. And the theory is you rub it on your hands for 60 seconds, and it will kill all of the germs, for the most part, on your hands. And that's how CopperTouch was born.
That is so interesting because, you know, you're taking a naturally occurring element and making something that's reusable. It doesn't need to be charged. It's portable, you know, and it's such a great product. And I encourage everybody listening today to go to coppertouch.com and check this out because it's really a neat product. Dr. John, I'm going to go back to you. And I'd love to know, how did you get involved with Copper Touch? You know, this is kind of an ancillary to your expertise. And, you know, when you first came upon this concept, what were your thoughts?
Okay, yeah, how did I get involved? Well, I worked at General Mills with a individual, Bob Essie, who worked in the packaging department, and he had retired a few years earlier than me. He was interested in following up on a patent application by Dr. Dave Egberg, who had also worked at General Mills, for producing a copper product to conveniently usable shape, such as a soap bar, to sanitize hands and so forth. So he was very interested in having this investigated, and he asked me to do research on it. I conducted some extensive research on copper's properties, how copper was shown to destroy bacteria, viruses, other microbes on contact. These findings were very eye-opening to me. I had never given it any thought prior to that time. And so I reported all that back to Bob, who then worked with Linda and others to form Copper Touch.
Now, when you did this, you did a complete write-up. What does that mean when somebody does a complete write-up? I see here that you did a complete write-up on Copper Touch and how it would work for sanitizing. What does that mean?
Well, I suppose one can never be 100% complete because research is always ongoing. But what I did was review the literature that I could find, everything on research papers and so forth that I could find up to that point in time, and pulled that all together into a condensed summary, basically summarized everything I could find on the subject into a single report.
And now you've done over 80, you've co-authored more than 80 publications, so this is something you're very familiar with on doing a write-up.
Oh, yeah. Authoring reports is fairly commonplace in my work.
Gotcha. So when we think about copper, Dr. John, copper is a naturally occurring element. We know that. Is it good for the body? You know, I know this is something that's for hand sanitizing and rubbing it, but it's completely safe for your skin and copper is good for your body. Is that correct?
Okay. Well, there's two aspects to copper in that regard. One is copper is a necessary nutrient in our bodies, but we don't get that copper by contact. We get that copper by copper salts that actually come in through our foods.
Okay.
So we need a very small amount of copper on a continual basis for our bodies to function properly. The other aspect of copper is when it's in the solid form, such as plumbing and other uses of it. That is basically a non-toxic, durable material, clean, easy to handle. Its natural properties are very desirable for the type of thing we're talking about. And that's why you see it used for cookware, you see it for plumbing, you see it used for jewelry. And it's been used for these things for centuries. It's also been used for utensils. It's been used for buckets and so forth to carry water. So it's had very wide usage and no evidence of any toxicity. One of its natural properties is that it's non-toxic to the humans. So it can be, it can be formed into these various shapes. The other thing about copper is if you look on the periodic table, copper is in group 11 of the elements. And this group has a unique characteristic in that it has one unpaired electron. in its electron shell. This makes it very electroconductive and very thermally conductive. Copper has the highest thermal conductivity of almost any metal, which makes it very useful for heat transfer. But the fact is that free electron makes it very electroconductive, meaning that electron can jump from molecule to molecule to molecule. So when you apply voltage to it, it carries a lot of current. That unpaired electron has a further advantage or further usefulness in the case of antimicrobial characteristics, in that unpaired electron can attack the cell, the shell of the cell, or the capsule of the cell, or the outer membrane of the cell, and disrupt its electrical currents, and basically the microbe falls apart. All the innards of it, so to speak, leak out because it can't maintain its integrity. So that's why copper has such a lethal effect on bacteria and viruses, is that it's because it's actually destroying the cells.
That's really interesting. So you have it on pots because that you talked about the thermal conductivity. So you're using it on pots and cookware because it transfers heat really well. And you just explained why we have copper wires and everything. Like when my iPhone cable breaks open, I look in there, you can see lots of copper wires pretty much in anything. And then it's very interesting that, you know, the benefit of us to using copper wire is also the benefit of us for having an antimicrobial experience with this 99.9% pure copper. Linda, I'm going to just go over to you for a second, and I want to talk about the history of copper, because this is pretty neat. I mean, I never knew there was so much to know about copper.
Well, it is. It's fascinating because I guess I obsess or think about things that most people don't. But when I met Dr. Jonathan and we worked on this project together, it's so interesting because when you talk with the scientist, you find out how they get from point A to point B. So when he was just explaining, for instance, about copper and talking about how copper, you know, will destroy the membrane of a germ, and he goes through the whole scientific thing. To me, that's just phenomenal because it's not something that the average person walks around and knows about. But to me, it's so significant that I think everybody should know about it because I think copper is something in the future. So what I did was I started looking at what happened in ancient times. When was copper discovered? When copper was actually discovered, they found, and Dr. Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think just through experimentation, they found it was an easier metal to work with to forge different things, like dishes, weapons, whatever the case may be. Then they also discovered by trial and error that when they're in battle, they would put the copper on the wound and it would help them heal. People were dying from poor water sources, infections that come from poor water, and they were using copper vessels, and all of a sudden, health was improving. Would you say that's a correct analysis through trial and error?
Yes, I think that's really the case. They soon discovered that if you had a copper water bucket, for instance, it doesn't get slimy the way a wood water bucket does,
or right,
say a steel water bucket. So there was something about the copper that was definitely controlling the growths that were occurring in these other cases.
And I think as we got into more modern times, they were using copper a lot more for plumbing needs, electrical, all different kinds of things. I think even in medical. And then it stopped. It went the other direction. And I think that was a cost factor. Would you say that's correct? Like plumbing, as an example?
The reduction in the use of plumbing would clearly be a cost and convenience factor because the
EDC is what they went to, right?
Well, PEX. They call it PEX, such as cross-link polyethylene. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to install, and it's much easier to make coupling. You don't have to solder and everything, but you don't have the benefit of the antimicrobial effect of the copper. So that would really be a cost thing. It was also being used for, as you said, for wounds and sores. Apparently, copper was fairly commonly used for that. That fell out of use with the introduction of modern antibiotics
right.
In the past century, as it turned out to be much easier to use the antibiotics, more effective in many cases, or equally effective. And so the use of copper dropped away in that regard.
So, Sandra, I think what is so interesting to me and why I'm loving everything that we're doing with copper is because most people don't really realize what a remarkable metal it really is. And the future of copper, I think, is going to change dramatically in medical settings just because we've gone through a pandemic. People are much more frightened now. It kind of woke everybody up to what can happen. And I think that that the education of copper and what it can do is going to introduce a whole new facet to what is happening with sanitation in today's lifestyle.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I love about Copper Touch is, you know, how jam-packed it is with scientific evidence. And, you know, as we talk about, you know, coming out of the pandemic and everybody's got such a greater awareness of germs and viruses and how they're transmitted, one of the things that your company did that I find really interesting is you also did lab testing. You had Dr. John, you know, do his thing, but then you went and had additional lab testing conducted in a Minneapolis lab. Now, who wants to speak to that? Because that's fascinating that you would do like basically double research.
Yeah, I think before we launch into that, I'd like to summarize just a bit on what I found during the literature research and so forth. Everything I found indicated the antimicrobial effects of copper against a whole variety of microorganisms. And this culminated in 2008 with the Environmental Protection Agency approving copper's use for antimicrobial surfaces in hospitals and other healthcare facilities. So, as Linda says, there's a big emphasis now on changing out the stainless steel surfaces, whether it be doorknobs, whether it be bed rails,
elevator buttons,
counters,
light
tops,
switches.
Things that people touch in that healthcare setting, and replacing them with copper based on this approval. These tests included things like staph, MRSA, methicillin resistant staph aureus, vancomycin resistant staph aureus, excuse me, and as well as many of the other common bacteria that make people sick and are responsible for serious infections. So what I found was that copper or any copper alloy with more than 60% copper could be used to manufacture items like bed rails and so forth. But the higher the copper content, all the way up to 100%, the higher the copper content, the faster, the better the antimicrobial kill. Then there was further research, for example, at the University of Southampton. This showed a couple of things. One, it showed it was effective against viruses, and particularly the SARS virus. I don't know if you remember that about 20 years ago when that swept through the world. And more recently, they've done work against the COVID-19 virus and found that copper was effective against that. They also documented that increasing temperature increases the speed of the kill. So this was all part of the research. From there, what we did, or what CopperTouch did, as you said, had testing done at a Minneapolis lab just to verify that the same effect would be experienced with the CopperTouch product. And so based on this overwhelming literature demonstrating this effect of gills, CopperTouch conducted two types of tests. One was a clear zone testing, and where pieces of copper were put in petri dishes along with various microorganisms. The dishes contained basically agar and then bacteria. And then observing, and wherever there was copper touch, there's clear zone. No bacteria were growing. They were all killed off, despite the fact that the bacteria had been inoculated on. The other test was a simulated use test. And basically, the laboratory used simulated skin, vitro skin, and they did not want to use human hands because they didn't want to expose anybody directly to pathogenic bacteria. So they used vitro skin, which is a very good simulated skin. They applied the bacteria to the skin and then rub it. They basically contaminated the skin. Then they rubbed it with the CopperTouch for 1 minute. The skin was then taken and analyzed, and it was found that 94% of the bacteria had been killed in a minute. So very effective, very supportive of everything we had found in the literature, and just a really, really supportive information.
So in summary, would you say, Dr. Jonathan, with our last lab report, that if you use a CopperTouch on your hands and you continue to use it throughout the day, because the one thing that's great about CopperTouch is you don't need soap and water. I want to be careful. I want to make sure people know we don't condone and say, okay, you just use CopperTouch, you never have to use soap and water. We're not trying to replace that, but you're not always somewhere where you have a sink and you have proper soap and you can wash your hands. So if you've got CopperTouch in your pocket, you can keep using it over and over and over. It never loses its antimicrobial properties. Even if it tarnishes, it doesn't lose. You can drop it in on the floor and it won't lose those properties. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, if you mar it or dent it or misshape it, as long as it can touch the microbes.
So in essence, it's a lifetime product, Sandra. So a lifetime warranty, a lifetime product, unless you lose it.
And if you throw it in the bottom of your book bag, like my kids do, or in the bottom of your purse, like I do, and it gets scratched up and dinged up, all those things don't affect its properties at all.
Right.
Not at all.
So, Sandra, to answer your question in another way, what CopperTouch, the reason we're relaunching, and we call this kind of the first part of our relaunching segment here, to let people know, we started CopperTouch about 3 years ago. We were selling on an Amazon store. We were also selling through our website. We had very, very good sales. We also had people that doubted our science, and we were able to answer all of the questions. You know, you can hear Dr. Jonathan. He's a phenomenal scientist. And we were able to respond to everybody because we really believe that what we are doing is accurate, true, and based on science. We're not trying to do something that is pie in the sky. This will kill germs. This will do this. This will do that. And so we feel very, very good about it.
Want to reiterate, this product was created well before COVID hit.
That is correct. Thank you. That's very correct. And sales were good. And suddenly, we had some naysayers in the general public, and we expect that. And we responded to everybody that questioned Dr. Jonathan's science. I think he even wrote to people personally and responded to their questions. And everything was going fine until COVID hit. And then we got a letter from the FDA saying we had to suspend because we were misrepresenting, I guess was the word they used. Dr. Jonathan, you can jump in here, but I believe they felt that we had something on the website that would be misleading for people.
Yes, I think they interpreted it as misrepresenting that CopperTouch was a complete preventative for
And it was actually the study that was done in Great Britain, I think.
Right.
That we had talked about on the website that we cited. We were not claiming, we're just saying you should read this, you should look at this. They're saying they believe that copper was going to kill COVID.
Yeah, I don't believe we ever implied that it was going to keep someone completely safe. You still had to practice all your normal safety things. And I think this is where a misunderstanding comes in, because at that point we had shown 94% kill of the germs, but the vaccines are only 95%
right
now, and so we're
right in there.
We're very parallel with that, one assumes that people will use their common sense and not say, well, if I use CopperTouch, I don't have to keep my distances or I don't have to wear masks in the place. It's an assistance for me to minimize my risk.
And never, Sandra, did we imply anywhere that you don't have to wear a mask, you don't have to use soap and water. That was never stated. And we were actually, like I said, just citing a study that had been done abroad. And the FDA basically sent us the letter. We responded. I think I got a hold of Dr. Jonathan immediately. I think we responded in 15 minutes.
Yep.
And what ended up happening is they put an asterisk by our name then on their site, which means we complied. And our web designer, William, had to remove a certain verbiage, which we did within 15 minutes and it was over. But what it did was it destroyed our ability to really market, because the FDA does not have, this is where it gets confusing, they do not have jurisdiction over copper, is that correct?
Well, as far as we know, FDA does not have jurisdiction over copper, but it's a very confusing situation, because what it basically says is EPA has jurisdiction over copper as part
correct
of the EPA's regulation of antimicrobials, except for hand sanitizers.
Right.
But when those regulations were put in place, hand sanitizers were thought of, as they are now, as any liquid hand sanitizer that you pump on your hands.
Correct.
I don't think anybody had pictured a solid piece of copper as a hand sanitizer. So it's very difficult getting that confusion straightened out and trying to deal with it.
Right. So, Sandra, recently the FDA has pretty much indicated, okay, we're not going to have jurisdiction over your product. You can go back to the EPA, which we did. So we filed all of the paperwork for an EPA number that will be for CopperTouch, and we are awaiting a conference with them where Dr. Jonathan will go through step-by-step the science and how it's used. Then they'll assign us an EPA number, and then we are fully back where we need to be. But it's taken us about a year and a half to get there after all of this happened to us.
Well, and what I like about what I'm hearing, you know, I'm not happy that, that this happened to your company, but what I'm thrilled about is the responsiveness of you on your end. You know, you're talking about within minutes making the changes, you know, on the website, you know, on your public face for your company as recommended by the FDA, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then, you know, you kind of got caught between the FDA and the EPA, and yet you still persevered. You know, that's enough for most companies to close their doors and say, you know what, this isn't the right time, this isn't the right product, I'm not going to deal with these big government agencies. And we're not dismissing or disrespecting the big government agencies. You know, they do the best that they can with what they know. You know, like what Dr. John said about, you know, who would think that a hand sanitizer would be a solid?
That's right. So we kind of were this unusual product that nobody really knew what to do with. And then the general public, there were a lot of people that chimed in and said, well, it can't be real. It has to be fake. And sometimes people, we have all of the science posted on the website. I know, Sandra, you are working actually on having where it's going to be in video form, and you know, they'll be podcasting for all the different directions for people that just want the science. But everybody, I think, Dr. Jonathan, here is something that you probably can clear up for everybody. The most common question we had was, you hear on TV that copper only is 50% effective of killing germs. It's a surface kill. It's only 50%. Can you explain the difference as to why we are not in that category?
Well, I don't believe I've ever heard that it's only 50%.
A surface kill.
It's surface kill, and it's definitely a surface kill. I mean, and that's what Copper Touch is. It's a very effective killing surface.
But if you have a copper surface and there are germs on that copper surface, but no friction, no rubbing, it is about a 50% kill in 4 hours, right?
Not true.
Not true. Okay.
The research out of Southampton in Britain shows that if, for instance, COVID virus is on stainless steel, it lasts for days. On plastic, it's killed in 4 to 6 hours by copper.
Right.
Completely.
Okay.
But people misinterpret that instead of saying, wow, this is fast. This is self-sanitizing. This is extremely important in healthcare settings. They look at it and say, well, it takes 4 hours. The very interesting aspect to that is that same university, in extending that study, looked at copper and had people contaminate the surface, simulated fingerprint like you touched it. 3 minutes later, copper had killed all the virus. So we think, I think it runs even faster than that, but they never measured it in less than 3 minutes. So, yeah, it's very much how the data is interpreted and presented by the, I suppose, presented by the media.
It was the media. You are correct. So, Sandra, the moral of that story and what Dr. Jonathan is saying, what's so ironic about it is people catch a sentence like, well, if it's on a copper surface, you know, it'll kill it 50%, or it'll take 4 hours, or you get all these stories, and then they contact us and they say, you say that Copper Touch kills the germs in 60 seconds by rubbing your hands. That can't be true, because we just heard on TV that it's 4 hours.
Right.
And that's what we were up against.
I think a rather key point here, too, is the studies that we're looking at comparing the different surfaces, we're using wet contamination with the viruses. And copper clearly works better in dry situation. Whereas copper starts killing right away in dry, in a wet situation, the water has to evaporate. So part of that 4 hours is the drying of the viruses so that they actually contact the copper. Now, if you're rubbing your hands, even if there's a little moisture, you rub the moisture away. You bring the copper right in contact with the germs. So it really needs some clarification, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So, Sandra, back to you. There you see the confusion of what we have gone through.
Well, right. There's a certain amount of product education that has to happen for people to understand the full benefit of this product. Because, you know, I could see myself being misled the same way, you know, listening to the news, that I could see myself, you know, we live in an instant generation of texting, you know, Amazon deliveries. We get mad if they don't come the next day, you know, all these things of quick, quick, quick. But, you know, the component of moisture, the role that moisture plays in the efficacy of this product is really fascinating. Now, we were talking a little bit about this product being developed, you know, before COVID, before we even knew, you know, COVID, you know, would be a global pandemic. You guys went ahead and you did additional lab testing on COVID, and I'd love to know those results.
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about instant gratification. Reminds me of the neighbor who, when the Amazon truck didn't have a delivery, had a UPS check to make sure she was okay. Oh, just kidding. Okay. The additional lab test on COVID. Yes. So CopperTouch, again, commissioned the laboratory to do this testing on COVID. Now, obviously, they did not want to access COVID-19 virus for safety reasons. But throughout the world, including the U.S., there's a virus called the human coronavirus 229E. And that can be used as the surrogate for the COVID-19 virus. It has all the same characteristics in terms of being treated antimicrobially. So it has all the same for the infection issues and pathogenicity. So the laboratory used human coronavirus 229E. And they applied this virus to the simulated skin, to the vitro skin that I had talked about. And then let them dry briefly just to simulate as what would happen if your hands had become contaminated with particles containing the coronavirus going through the air or whatever. They then rubbed the CopperTouch on that skin for 1 minute. Again, standard 1 minute test as you would expect to use CopperTouch on your hands. Then took the skin and assayed to determine how many of the viruses were killed. They found that the CopperTouch had destroyed 99.95% of the viruses when it was CopperTouch was rubbed against the simulated contaminated skin for 1 minute. So
you want to repeat
extremely
that
effective. Yes, CopperTouch had actually destroyed 99.95% of the viruses when it was rubbed against the simulated skin for 1 minute.
That's amazing.
It is. It's very much in line with everything else we've found when we study copper. So, cell disruption.
Absolutely.
Destruction.
So, Sandra, as we move forward, we're going to relaunch, and of course, you're very, very involved in this process. And our goal, I'll let you explain it. You are much better at this than I am, but our goal is to reach the general public, those that feel good about it. We would love them to own a CopperTouch. Those that don't or don't believe in it, we're okay with that too. We're just selling a product that we really believe in, and we really believe in the science.
Well, we believe it's helpful for humankind.
Absolutely.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about some uses, because, you know, we've introduced the product, we've talked about the science behind it, and, you know, you've been very emphatic that, you know, this is not to replace other, you know, kind of health procedures or protocols that you have to keep yourself healthy and safe, but where it really shines and, you know, the real true benefit of this product is its portability and its ability to help you, you know, kind of reduce the germ load on your hands in areas, especially when you're not able to get to water. And some of the things that I want to share with the audience is my own personal use. You know, when you're on an airplane and, you know, you can't get up and go to the bathroom and wash your hands, and especially when you're traveling with kids, which I do a lot. I have two kids. And, you know, to be able to use a copper bar to help keep the kids healthy with, you know, not having to plug in anything, not to have any liquid. You know, you can't carry liquids on the airplanes. Other uses that we find are really helpful is after the kids' sports. You know, they come in, they want to eat really quickly, and sometimes we're eating in the car or eating on the field in between games, and it's very hard to get access to water in a lot of these places. And then also when we go camping, you know, water's a premium. So, and if we're hiking out in certain places and I want the kids to clean their hands or me to clean my hands before we sit down and eat, it's so much easier to carry the copper bar with you rather than packing in, you know, hand wipes or packing in and out sanitizer. You know, those things start to get heavy. And this, the, that brings me to one of the key points that when I got the bar for the first time, I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is really light. And I was concerned that, you know, the weight of it would somehow affect its properties. Can you guys speak to the weight of the product when you get it? So people, we set the proper expectation.
Well, the weight of the product is related to the fact that, that CopperTouch has been designed to be hollow. And the important thing about the copper touching your skin is the surface area. And so the area that's touching your hands, it's touching your skin, is all active in terms of its antimicrobial properties. It has nothing to do with the with the weight of the copper. You just need a sufficient amount to make those contacts. And by designing it lightweight, it's easy to carry. It's very portable. But making the walls thick enough so that it's not easily damaged or destroyed was rather key. And so that's why it probably feels lighter than you might expect it to for a given object this size. But nonetheless, it does not reduce its effectiveness at all.
I think, right, setting the right expectation for the consumer when they receive the product. You know, like if I got a hockey puck and it was light, you know, it would feel like one of those like indoor hockey pucks. So I was surprised when I got it how light it was. But when you explain to me how it works, and then when I think of throwing it in a bag, you know, if I'm hiking for the day or it's going in the kids' school bag, you wouldn't want a 3-pound puck sitting in the bottom of your bag. And I would imagine that would make the cost prohibitive.
Yes, no, absolutely. You know, when we were in the design process, because we have the one that is like a silver dollar, which is going to be heavier. And, you know, we wanted to design it so it was large enough that it's covering good surface when you're using it to rub, but also thick enough because we want people to feel that they've got a product that they can hang on to that is a good, well-made, structured product. So when it came to the one that was like a sofa, copper is heavy. And if you're going to have solid copper, you've got two things that are going to happen. First of all, you're going to haul around something that's going to add weight to your purse or weight to your pocket that is not going to be comfortable. Second of all, it's going to be more expensive because copper is not cheap. It's expensive. So we had to search and search and search to find out how to get the weld. And I think it took us about 6 months before we actually found somebody that had robots that could do this particular weld.
Now, one of the things that I want to jump in and say to our listeners who may have kids, one of the things that it's an unintended benefit of your product, especially the bar. It when your kid is nervous, you can give them the bar to sit and rub, and it functions almost like a very smooth fidget spinner. And the other thing that the coin does, when my kids are on the airplane, they flip the coin between their fingers. So there is a dual use. Like, you wouldn't buy it just for your kid to play with, but it has all these unintended benefits. You know, I've been using the product for over a year and a half now, and I found the kids flipping it around, holding it, you know, rubbing it. It's very soothing when you rub it. So if you do struggle with, you know, some sort of anxiety or frustration, you know, take that out and start rubbing it and moving it between your fingers. It is very calming.
That's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, Sandra. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So I would like to give you guys an opportunity to share anything else with our listeners. Dr. John, do you have anything you'd like to add to today's episode?
Well, you know, I think I'd like to express where I think we're at with the product today. You know, I believe copper is very effective in destroying microbes, which comes in contact with. It's clearly been shown historically in the major research efforts that have gone on and all the published results. Based on that and the fact that copper touch is 100% copper, it'll destroy those microbes when it comes into contact. So used effectively, it's a good germ killer. It's very convenient for forming, convenient form to carry around. It's very easy to use. It's designed to really, you know, use with your hands. Very usable. And I just think it's a very effective product that should be available for consumers to use.
Excellent, excellent. Linda Pavick, CEO of Copper Touch, anything you'd like to add?
Yes. Well, actually, I am very, very lucky with the people that I am surrounded by. And Dr. Jonathan and you, Sandra, are an example of that as we're doing this show, because we have just taken, you know, 3 years of our life, 3.5, 4 years, and for the most part been on a roller coaster with wanting to introduce and bring what we think is a phenomenal, helpful product that will really keep people safer medically. And that is a big part of what we really believe in and what we're trying to do. So we're going to relaunch, and we are going to continue being the pioneers of using copper as a sanitation device. And we will be out there, and we look forward to anybody calling us, emailing us, contacting us in any way with any questions. We are an open book.
I love that. I love that. On behalf of coppertouch.com, I want to thank Dr. Jonathan DeVries for being here today. I also want to thank Linda Pavick, the CEO. You guys always remind me of the little company that could, you know, like the little engine that could, but now you're the little company that could and did. So check out coppertouch.com. You'll be glad you did. We'll be back again soon.
Cleaner on the Go Radio, powered by Copper Touch, thanks you for listening. For more information, go to www.coppertouch.com. And here's to your great health.